Just ask yourself, do I see this around me today? And I think the answer will be yes, which means Jesus is coming soon. Amen. That's what this study is all about, to remind us Jesus is coming. All right, so number one is there would be departing from the faith. We see that. Number two is false doctrine would become more prevalent. Number three is there would be more lying going on. Number four, conscience, people's consciences would be seared. Number five, there would be more separation and more abstaining from things. Number six, covetousness. Number seven, lovers of their own selves. Number eight, in no self-control. Number nine, despisers of those that are good. We definitely see that. Number 10, boasters and proud. Number 11, blasphemers. Number 12, disobedient to parents. Number 13, unthankful. Number 14, unholy. And number 15, without natural affection. Of course, that's now become the norm in society, hasn't it? Alternate, whatever you want to call it. So today we continue there in 2 Timothy 3, which has probably the longest list, 2 Timothy 3. And the next one there is truce breakers. It also means implacable, cannot be appeased. But we'll pray and we'll have a chat about this one and carry on. So thank you, Lord, for the privilege to study your word. And I pray you'd guide us in truth with the Holy Spirit. And Lord, that we would learn things to help us serve you and witness to others. May you be glorified in this service. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So truce breakers, what do you think that means? And do we see that around us? In other words, people not keeping their promises. Beryl? Believe it or not, 100 years ago, people just shook hands and it was done. And everybody just kept their word. Now, the saying is, if it's not in writing, it's not so, right? Because shaking hands means nothing. People just don't keep their promises. Any other things you see around us? So it's a given now that we expect politicians to not keep their promises, isn't it? I mean, it's not like we're surprised when it happens. They make all these promises to get elected, and then they don't keep them. So it's become the norm to break the truce, if you will. All right, other areas.
When the last days, the 7-year peace treaty between Israel and Israel.
Yep. So that will be the ultimate truce breaker, won't it? Will be during the tribulation period. Any others? People making commitments, promises, and not keeping them?
No.
I was waiting for that one. Is our divorce rate higher than it used to be 100 years ago?
Well, yes.
Absolutely. Any others? Truce breakers, yes.
Have your children before you get married.
Okay. Yep. So we see it all around us. This truce breakers or being implacable can't be appeased. And it's become the norm that people don't keep their word, that they don't say what they're going to, that they don't fulfill what they say they're going to fulfill. It's sad, isn't it? Because we as God's children are commanded to always keep our word, to always be honest, to always fulfill our promises because God does. Amen. But now in society, the opposite is around us. All right, the next one is false accusers. False accusers. Welcome to social media. That's the first thing that comes to our minds, isn't it?
And I don't trust the media for peanuts.
Okay, good, Jan. So do we see false accusing going on around us?
Yes.
Which, by the way, is a sin for us as Christians. It's even one of the Ten Commandments, is it not? To not bear false witness. And it's repeated in the New Testament that we're always to be honest and tell the truth and never be a false accuser. But again, social media has made this so easy, hasn't it, for people to make false accusations. So go to Romans 13 and we'll see again where God repeats the Old Testament commandment for us in the New Testament that we're never to commit this sin, which is to be a false accuser. So who would read Romans 13, verse 9? Brother Scott, let's start over here.
For this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is greatly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself.
Amen. So notice it says, thou shalt not bear false witness, which is what we're talking about here, false accusers, people bearing false witness, telling lies about one another. And no, it's not, but we see it all the time now, don't we? Where people are guilty until proven innocent instead of the other way around. And God said that would be a earmark of our current day, of the last days. So any other thoughts about this one? Does anybody see anything else in society about this being a false accuser, other than the media, Mark?
Well, I see it all the time. If you make a stand for the truth, no matter what it is, people will attack you regardless. And you even get it in Christian circles, unfortunately. And I think us as a body, when these things are spread and told, that they need to be addressed properly, because another time it just causes division and schisms within the body and in our church, and we're just going to fall apart. We're supposed to be unifying, but we seem to be attacking in some cases, and it's just, I just don't understand why people do this.
Yeah, it's never allowed in the church, of course. It's never allowed in Christians. Any other thoughts or comments?
There's just like, in regard to social media, there's a lot of false accusations, but there's also, it's like a mob mentality where there's really no way to defend yourself anymore. You just, with the cancel culture and everything that's going on, so, and it's becoming so evident that the attack is specifically on the truth and on Christians and anything remotely related to that even.
So, yep. Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely prevalent in the media. Any other thoughts or questions? Mm-hmm.
The people in the church or in society or people, well, you've got to remember Christ recently, I hate the sin but love the sinner. And I suppose if you go to that looking at things, okay, what are you doing, what are you doing, and so forth, it's wrong, but I still love you, and so forth. And just move forward from that.
Amen.
Love the sinner but hate the sinner.
Amen. So we as God's children must be ever so careful not to be led into this trap by the devil, to be a false accuser. All right, so the next one, still in the same passage, is fierce. This word fierce. So if you look up the definition, it means untamed or savage or merciless. So does that help you understand this word fierce a bit more? And do we see this in the last days? That people have become more savage, more untamed, more merciless. Do we see this? Pardon?
Anger.
Absolutely. Anger is always part of it. But do we see more of this around us in society? More of this savageness, lack of mercy, being untamed. People are just, I don't know how else to say it. They're just more savage. So any thoughts about this one? Doug? Yep.
I think we've become very impatient.
We have. And me and Howard got to deal with a little bit of savageness yesterday, didn't we? Just passing out tracts.
Just lack of respect.
Yeah, lack of respect. I mean, I don't know how a person gets so savage over a flyer in their letterbox, but, you know, obviously their lives are so boring that they'd rather sit and stare at their letterbox. But yeah, just this savageness comes out. Beryl?
Especially Facebook, it's a platform for people to be nasty to other people and saying
Yep, it is definitely a sign of the times. Amen. Anything else? Rachel? Sometimes that's the best solution. All right, and then the next one is traitors. Who comes to mind when we think of a traitor in the Bible? Judas, right? That's what the Bible calls him, a traitor. In Luke chapter 6, the Bible says he was also the traitor. And the Bible says in the last days, people would be traitors. So do we see Judases around us in society? Any thoughts about the traitors? There's not really cross-references for a lot of these, as you can tell. But traitors, do we see this? Mark?
Well, once again, going back to the tribulation period where families, father and daughter and son, mother, daughter,
yep. Yep.
You see it today with COVID, people, you know, saying, you know, they're being fed such and such, and they saw the neighbours over there and so forth, they bring up the council and say, people are willing to speak up and go up to neighbours for certain reasons.
Yep. So traitors, we see it more and more, don't we? Christine? Well, it's definitely a traitor against the Word of God.
That's definitely happening a lot more.
Yep. So we see this more and more. Any other thoughts about this one? The next one is heady, which means reckless. So do we see that around us? People being more reckless than they used to be. We all shake our heads, absolutely. And then comes high-minded. You remember the story of the Tower of Babel?
Yes.
Where a man was high-minded. Now, we won't know till we get to heaven exactly all that happened at the Tower of Babel, but whatever it was, God had to put a stop to it. And it was man being high-minded. Man believing that, like he does today, that he's the pinnacle of everything. That there isn't a God, but that man is, you know, at the head of the food chain, if you will, and that we have within us the power to accomplish anything and all of these silly thoughts. So we're just a repeat of the Tower of Babel, isn't it? That society, man thinks that he's all that. And yet, what are we told as Christians? We're to be what? Humble. All through the scripture, we're told to have humbleness of mind, to be humble, to be lowly. Jesus even said when he was on earth the first time that he was meek and lowly in heart there in Matthew 11. So Christians are never to be high-minded, but we would see this around us. So any thoughts, questions about the heady or the high-minded? We might finish this today. Next one. Having a form of godliness, 2 Timothy 3:5, but denying the power thereof. So what do you think that one means? A form of godliness.
Appearing to be good, but not truly in power.
Mm-hmm. And when did we see this in the Bible?
Yeah.
When Jesus came, right? With the Pharisees? That was exactly their problem. Jesus says in Matthew 23:28, even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. That's Jesus rebuking the Pharisees for this very thing, having a form of godliness, in other words, appearing godly, but denying the power thereof. So men pleasers is the verse that's used there in Ephesians 6:6, which we looked at in the commandments, that we would see more and more of this outwardly supposedly godly, but it's all fake because the hearts are wicked and they're not saved. So do we see this around us, this form of godliness, but denying the power thereof? In Jude 4, we'll look at a cross-reference. So let's turn over there. Howard, if you would read that, Jude verse 4.
There are certain men, pricked and unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ.
So again, this is another passage about the last days, and there's that word deny again. Denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. So denying that there is a God, denying Jesus is God, that this would be more prevalent, and yet people would still, I believe this is primarily talking about people that claim to be Christians, so they've got the outward righteousness, but they're not born again, they don't believe in the deity of Christ. Mark?
Yeah, there's a, I was reading that not long ago, there's a church in America combining Christian and Muslim.
Yes, they're calling it Chrislam. Brought to us by none other than the famous writer of the Purpose Driven Church, Rick Warren. Yep. Well, that's one of the appeals of the Mormons, isn't it, to people? It's not so much their doctrine, but they push family, they push clean living. You know, they don't drink caffeine, they don't drink alcohol. They now the hotels that they own in the States, this is just an interesting side bit. They own the Marriott hotel chain, and all their hotels have pubs inside of them. So it's okay to own hotels and serve booze to everybody else, but they don't drink it. But anyway, that's another example. That what appeals to people about the Mormons isn't their crazy beliefs about gods and planets and all that. It's the clean living and the emphasis on family. But there's no power there. They're not saved. And like we read here in Jude, denying the only Lord God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So denying the person of Jesus and the existence of the one God, the only Lord God. Mormons, another example, they teach there's multiple gods and that we can become gods. But there's only one Lord God, the only Lord God. Christine?
One of my best friends is a Mormon, and I think what strikes me is just how devious Satan is, that whole thing, because really on the surface it looks amazing. Like, it's not just that it's clean living and everything, it's like such a tight-knit community.
Mm-hmm.
So you get support, your kids have like other kids who are like lovely to be raised with and everything, and it's not until you really, really start digging that you see how messed up it is. And I've like, you just got to pray so hard, because she knows her Bible probably better than I do, because they use the King James Version alongside, you know,
the Book of Mormon and the Pearl of Great Price.
Yeah, but they actually know the King James Version really well, and so you just got to pray for God to open their eyes, because they're so blind to really how lost they are.
And doctrinally so messed up.
Yes.
In just about every possible area. So, having a form of godliness, denying the power thereof. Any other thoughts or questions? Rachel? Well, yeah, and that all that does is chase people away. So where's the love for the soul that needs Jesus when you treat people like that? Yeah, let the Holy Spirit do it. Exactly. All right, so the next one, 2 Timothy 4, verse 3, is lust, after their own lusts.
And this one is repeated in three different passages about the last day. So, Philip, if you would read 2 Peter 3:3, and Mark Zeus, if you would read Jude 18, we'll see that lust would be a characteristic of the last day. So, here's 2 Timothy 4:3, after their own lusts. 2 Peter 3:3, Philip. So there it is, walking after their own lusts. And then Jude 18, Mark.
Have they told you they should be mockers for the last time, should walk after their own ungodly lust?
So definitely ungodly lust would be a characteristic of the last days. Do we see it around us? The prevalence of lust. Absolutely. And to, yeah. We don't need to go too deep into it, but it won't be long before certain ungodly lusts are considered just an alternate lifestyle. Like lusting after children, for example, which is despicable. And yet, as we keep moving in this direction, it won't be long before it's just, well, they can't help it. And then where do we go? Hopefully the trumpet blows before that happens. Amen. But anyway, we see it all around us, don't we? The lust is just unbridled now. It's just everywhere. And it's become the norm of society. And, of course, as God's children, we're told to avoid these ungodly lusts. Any thoughts or questions about this one? Mark?
Well, we've got to be so careful what we behold with our eyes and our ears.
That's right. Yep, David said, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. That's a good thing to keep at home. Amen.
I see lots of Christians and the stuff they watch and the stuff they listen to, and to be quite frank, it's not a lot different to what I see out in the world, what's out there in the world. So, do we really take it seriously when people are doing it?
No, the devil.
They don't realize the power of what they're mucking around.
That's right, the devil's very crafty. TV hasn't been around that long, but he snuck it into our homes, didn't he? So we have to watch. Any other thoughts or questions? All right, so let's do the next to the last one, 2 Peter 2:2, which is the word pernicious. Who can tell me the definition of pernicious without looking on your phone? Because we can all Google it. If you look at the Greek word behind the word pernicious, it basically means destructive or harmful. So 2 Peter 2:2, Christine, would you read the whole verse for us? Another passage about the last days.
2 Peter 2:2?
Yes.
And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of.
So destructive or harmful. So Mark mentioned the TV, but can you think of anything that's very destructive and very prevalent in society today, now that we have the internet? Does anything come to mind? It's destroying marriages and homes. You know what I'm talking about, Rachel? Exactly. Is pornography destructive and harmful? Yep. Yes. That's exactly. He's after the family. And so remember, he's the God of this world. So is he going to keep putting stuff out there that's destructive? That's pernicious? Absolutely. That's harmful? Yep. And he's basically destroying society from the inside out, from the bottom up, isn't it? He knows what he's doing. Yes.
It's not just finance. It's not just the internet. It's all social media and video games.
All of it. He knows what he's doing.
He's sensitizing all the kids, you know, to violence and to pornography.
Yep. Very, very destructive, very harmful. Any other thoughts or questions? We'll look at the last one, 2 Peter 2, verse 3, which is, actually, somebody read that for me. Kelvin, read 2 Peter 2, 3 for me.
And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not.
So the Bible says that the false prophets would make merchandise of you. Talking about Christianity in general. Do we see this? That false prophets are making merchandise of the world and of Christianity primarily, so-called. You know, most false prophets are quite wealthy. Why is that? Think about it. These TV preachers and internet preachers that are famous, most of them are quite wealthy. Why would that be? Where'd all that money come from? It came from people donating, right? So they're making merchandise of God's people, are they not? And it's not just TV preachers, by the way. We have them in New Zealand, too. These guys that like to show off their Rolexes and they're fancy cars because they follow God and God blesses them mightily. Yeah, but where's all that money come from? It comes from God's people.
And some religions break up families too.
Yep.
Some of the churches do.
And my favorite verse on this one is where Peter and John, when they went to the temple and the man was there who'd been lame, and they looked at him and they said, "Silver and gold have I none. But what I do have, I give you in the name of the Lord Jesus," and they healed the man. But I like that they said, "Silver and gold have I none." In other words, we don't have any money. This is Peter talking. He says, we don't have any money, but what we can do, because a man would have had a basket or whatever collecting coins, because that's all he could do was beg. He says, but we're going to heal you through the power of Jesus Christ. And here's one of the greatest preachers that ever lived. He says, we don't have any money. And yet today, it's almost a given that the big-name preachers are going to be wealthy. Yeah, Kelvin?
It's funny. I never really realized how prevalent it was until we were in Auckland. In South Auckland, there's a lot of Pacific Island families, which they're always at church. You see on Sunday, they're always going to church. And I know a lot of families there, they can't afford to put shoes on their kids' feet, but they give their money to the church every week. And then there's certain churches in Auckland that you see that, you know,
yep. Yep. And God said it would happen. And it's happening that they would make merchandise of you. So what an amazing review of what we should look for to ask ourselves a question. Are we in the last days? And I think we just proved it, didn't we? Okay, so these 25 characteristics have made it clear that we find ourselves in the last days. So any thoughts or questions before we complete our study on the last days? I hope this was a blessing to you. It was a blessing to me to do this study. I learned a lot. All right, any suggestions?